24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, reading at verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, maybe something that we don't know. Verse 42 tells us. There is something, however, that we ought to know. Verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Let's keep our Bibles open, and we'll ask the help of the Lord this night as we wait before Him. Let us everyone pray that the Lord may have a message for our own hearts. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy Word and for the glorious Gospel. We thank Thee that Jesus came, that He came to suffer on the tree, and we bless Thee that soon He'll come again. We may be certain tonight that as He came the first time, so He'll come the second time. This occasion, when He appears, He will come in the fullness of glory. O Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Give us all help and wisdom in the handling and understanding of Thy Word. Make this a message for eternity. Give the preacher help from heaven. May he have the unction of God upon him. May he know the anointing of the Spirit of God. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this 24th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and chapter 25 as well, are special chapters in the Gospel when it comes to the teaching of Christ about His second coming, His coming in the clouds of heaven. You will understand that the disciples have been asking the Lord about the matter. And we have before now put the point that every Christian should follow the example recorded here in the Scriptures. We have many questions on our mind from time to time. These things, insofar as they belong to the Bible and the things of God, should be taken to the Lord in prayer. We should learn to ask the Lord. The question which really lies at the center of these two chapters in Matthew's Gospel is found there in the third verse, when the disciples privately, that is to say, there was nobody else but themselves, the world was closed out, even the Jews who might ordinarily have listened to the Lord, they were not present. The only company who heard the Savior speak at this time was those who believed. And the saints of God listened. They were taught by the Savior on the Mount of Olives. It might be helpful for me to give you the outline of this chapter, since at this time we're really dealing with the 24th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Verses 1 to 3, the inquiry about the end. Then verse 4 through to 14, the events leading up to the end. Verse 15 through to 31, the end itself. And this section is in two parts. The first part about the sign, that first of all is mentioned in verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation standing in the place where it ought not. The first part of this section is about the sign of the end. Remember, this section is about the end itself. It begins with reference to the sign, and it closes with reference to the Savior. There are two subjects when we come to think about this disclosure concerning the end in Matthew 24. And we read about the Savior, verse 29 through to 31, when the very powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and in the darkness and physical commotion of that hour, our Lord will come with the sound of the trumpet and gather together His own saints, His own elect from the one end of heaven to the other. That'll be a glorious day when the Lord comes visibly, gloriously, personally, triumphantly, and for His very own. But you'll see in the section that follows, verse 32 to the end of the chapter, examples and warnings about the end. And these verses have concerned us of late. From verse 32 onwards to the end, we have examples and warnings about the end. Let's think then, not only of the inquiry and of the events and of the end, but of the examples. And these examples, broadly speaking, are four. We have looked at the example from nature, the budding of the fig tree. That's a picture from nature. Then we talked last time about Noah's day. That's an example from history. So we have one example from nature. We have another example from Noah's day. And tonight, we come to the verse 42 and 43 and 44, an example from the night, from the nighttime work of the feet. And next time, the Lord willing, we'll be looking at the parable of the nobleman and his servant. So we have four examples, I think we may say, concerning the end. All of these examples are warnings. An example from nature, the budding of the fig tree. An example from Noah's day, from the history of the past. An example of the nighttime activity of the thief. And an example of the nobleman with his servants. Tonight we're looking at verse 42, 43, and 44. In these words, the advent of Christ is likened to the coming of a thief. Look at verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. The advent of Christ is likened to the coming of a thief because the hour of His arrival is unknown. Obviously, when the thief strikes, and we're no strangers to reports of burglary in these times, thieving is as bad as ever. But the thief always tries to operate at a time when the householder does not suspect anything. He works undercover. He works always by surprise. And it is a most unpleasant experience for one to put the key in the door and enter into the house and find everything overturned, the whole house in shambles. The thief has come at an hour when we didn't expect him. He always tries to strike at an unexpected time. His coming is unknown to us. And this is the point that our Lord is stressing here. He has used frequently in the Bible the illustration of the coming of the thief. Let us look at one or two of these places. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is an interesting passage following immediately on after that noble passage that relates to the coming of the Lord with the sound of the trumpet, with the voice of the archangel, and with the shout of triumph from the glory. In verse 1 of chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, I'm showing that Our Lord has used the illustration more than once in the Bible. He has said again and again in different settings, I will come like a thief. You'll not be looking for me. You won't know the hour of my coming. I'm going to come like a thief. Like a thief in the night. And in verse 1 of chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, the apostle is writing, listen carefully. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now these saints of God were instructed to the degree that Paul is saying you shouldn't need any further teaching. You're not in the dark concerning the coming of the Lord. You know already with accuracy what the Word of God has to say about the coming again of the Lord Jesus. And you know this for a fact, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Here the Word of God is saying, the coming of the Lord, when it takes place, will come suddenly. When they're saying in the world and among the nations of the earth, peace and safety, all of a sudden the Lord will come. He will come unexpectedly. He will come like a thief in the night. He will come when people are not expecting Him. And they're not looking for His coming. Then verse 4 says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're not to be in the dark about the coming of the Lord. You're to expect His coming. The coming of the Lord is not supposed to take the Christian by surprise. The Christian is expected to be on his guard. He should always be watching. And that day will not overtake the believer as a thief. But it will find the ungodly unprepared. When they speak about peace and safety, this is not peace with God. This is not salvation in terms of eternity that concerns them. They're simply talking about peace to live and safety from war. They have no thought about the Lord. Then the chapter goes on, verse 5. Ye are all the children of light. That is to say, the believer is numbered among the saints in light. And they are called the children of the day. That is to say, they belong to that day that's coming, the day of the Lord. The day when Jesus comes is to be a glorious day. For it's the day of the King's coronation. It's the day when the King comes back. And we belong to that day. We don't belong to this present age. When the Lord saved us, He took us out of the world and He separated us from this age. And from the time of one's conversion, he belongs to that day, the day of the Lord, the day when the King comes back. We belong to the day. The Scripture says we are not of the night, nor of the darkness. The darkness and the night is associated with sin and the devil. All that belongs to the world, and the Scripture says, if you're saved, you don't belong to the dark. You don't belong to the night. You're a child of the day. You're waiting for the sun of righteousness to rise with healing in His wings. Therefore, verse 6, let us not sleep. The Christian should not be taken unawares by the coming of the Lord. He is not to sleep. He is not to lie down there inert and almost unconscious and unaware that the Lord is coming. He's not to be like those who are in the world. He should be waiting for the sound of the trumpet. Therefore, the Scripture says in verse 6, let us, all who believe, let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Drunkenness and sleep go together in this context. The worldly man, the sinner, filled with drink, lies there in a heavy slumber. He's not like a man waiting for the King coming back. And when the trumpet sounds, and the shout of the king coming back rings through the earth, and when the voice of the archangel causes all the world to tremble, the drunkard will be awakened rudely out of that terrible sleep, a sleep unto damnation and judgment. Now, the Christian isn't to be caught unawares. The Christian here, and I think I have the teaching of the passage, the Christian isn't to copy the ungodly. He's not to live like those in the world. He is to know for a fact that he no longer belongs to the night and to the darkness with which we associate the sleeping. But he is to be awake, waiting and ready for the coming of the Lord. That day will not overtake you, you who believe, as a thief, but it will overtake the ungodly as a thief in the night. What a vivid revelation of the coming of the Lord we have in this passage. There's another very interesting portion in Revelation chapter 3. In the third verse of Revelation 3. There's a reference that's easily remembered. 3:3. And when you turn up the passage, at the end of that verse, our Savior is warning the church of Sardis, "If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon you." I will come as a thief, and you will not know what hour. You will not know when I come. This is the whole idea of a thief. He comes to take the householder by surprise. He comes at a time when the householder doesn't think about it. He's in peace and safety. He's not watching. He's not alert. The thief strikes if the occupant is at home. He may strike during the hours of the night when the whole household is slumbering. He certainly isn't going to be so bold, as a rule, to come before your very eyes and start lifting your property. No, he's waiting until you cease to watch. And then when you don't realize it, he appears. He comes at a time when you don't know he's about to strike. This is what Revelation 3:3 says. "I will come as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come." Take Revelation again. Revelation chapter 16. This time, we are practically at the eve of the world's Armageddon. And in Revelation chapter 16, verse 15, our Savior is saying, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." We have the gathering of the nations to that place called Armageddon, the very end of the age, the last great battle in the day of God Almighty. And the Lord is saying, "I'm going to come like a thief. I'll come at such an hour when the world is taken unawares, when men haven't made preparation." This is the whole idea of the Lord using the illustration of coming like a thief. And when you turn to our chapter, Matthew 24, there are so many references in that chapter to how the Lord will come suddenly, how he will take the world by surprise. It's not really a secret coming. It's a public coming. Nevertheless, his coming is at a time when nobody's expecting it among the ungodly. Take verse 27, the shining forth of the lightning. When there's a thunderstorm, the world knows about it. But who can say, if you sense that there is thunder in the air, who can say when that bolt of lightning will strike? I'm interested in taking pictures. There have been times when I have put my camera up and held it to the horizon. I waited for the lightning bolt to strike so that I could press the shutter at the same time. The time that I'm recollecting, I didn't have any success at all. I couldn't anticipate that lightning bolt that flashed from heaven. It took me by surprise.
I'd point the camera one way and the lightning came from another quarter. I didn't know the second. So the Lord is saying, well, you'll know about it when I come. My coming won't be any more secret than the flash of lightning will be, but you'll know about it. There is, however, no way that you can anticipate it.
Look again at verse 37, where he speaks of the days of Noah, and they knew not till the flood came. Verse 39, it took them by surprise. When the flood came, nobody believed that the flood was coming. The world was caught totally unprepared when the floodwaters of judgment and of death swept across the face of the earth. And our Savior plainly says in verse 36, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Again, he's saying in verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And in verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, you'll be taken by surprise when the Lord comes. Unless you're saved, unless your heart is especially tuned in to His Word, you may be caught unawares. He will come, like the thief in the night, at an hour when nobody is expecting Him. Then let us look at this illustration again. In verse 43, the illustration of the night and the nighttime work of the thief. The Lord Jesus Christ is warning of His coming as a thief to constrain men to make preparation for His coming. This is the whole idea of the illustration. He's saying here now, if the master of the house, or the good man, or the householder, whatever name we want to use for him, if he had known that the thief was coming, if only he had known what watch of the night the thief would come, he would have made preparation. He would have watched. He would have given the thief a warm reception. There were four watches in the night. And when the householder would be unawares, of course the thief would come. He doesn't mean to be caught. He doesn't mean to be observed. He means to take the owner by surprise. And our Lord uses the illustration to teach the very pertinent and solemn lesson that we need to be advised about His coming, and we need to make preparation. Now, any householder would set up a watch. Has he got a tip-off? Now, there have been break-ins in this locality, and we have received information that your house has been inspected. And we know that these people always strike on a Friday night. And therefore, since they have made a watch in your neighborhood and they have kept your movements under observation, may be true in a certain case that it could be said you're always away on a Friday, and we know these people have been watching, and therefore, more than likely, they'll be visiting your house Friday night coming. Now, if that was you, if it had been your house, and if you were away every Friday, I dare say you would make a change in your arrangements for Friday coming. You would set up a watch. There's nobody here in this congregation who is receiving information like that, but would instantly respond. You would make preparation, for you would be advised that the thief was coming. Now our Lord is saying here, you cannot know the day or the hour of my coming. But I'm telling you that I am coming, and I'm going to come in such a way as to take the world by surprise. I'll come like the thief. And you be ready. You be prepared. Our Lord Jesus Christ says in Mark chapter 13, verse 36, watch lest coming suddenly I find you sleeping. In Zechariah chapter 14, and verse 7, the Word of God tells us of the coming of the Lord, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord. One day which shall be known to the Lord. This is the day of His coming. It's not a day known to any other. It's a day known to Him. He simply tells us, I'm coming. You be on your guard. You be prepared. And when you look at those verses on either side of our text, verse 42 and verse 44, verse 42 says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." And verse 44, one of my favorite texts in the Bible, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." The whole object then of the Lord using this illustration is to have us in readiness. There was a little girl taught the gospel in Sunday school, and she knew that she had to make preparation to go to heaven. She asked her mother a very awkward question, and usually children can ask awkward questions. She said, "Mommy, I have heard that preparation has to be made, and I know," and she made reference to holidays to her mother. She said, "I know you're preparing to go to the country, and I know that my aunt is making preparation to come here, but nobody in the family seems to be making preparation to go to heaven." And she says, "I know that if we had a real interest in going there, we would be making preparation already." There was good sense in her reasoning. The whole import of the Savior's teaching here is that preparation has to be made. We're not to be taken unawares. Think of the illustration that follows in Matthew 25, the very next chapter, and part of the same sermon. The story of the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. Those who were wise had made the preparation. Those who were foolish were caught unawares. Those who were foolish found that their lamps were going out in the darkness of the night. And the Bible says so solemnly and unforgettably. Those who were ready went in. Since it's only over the page and there's no difficulty finding the place, look at Matthew 25 and verse 10. And you'll see how our Lord is still teaching the same truth. He's still preaching the same sermon. And there you have it in your own Bible. Matthew 25 and verse 10. Isn't it very clear? What does the Scripture say in the 10th verse? "And while they went to buy," the 5 foolish, "while they went to get ready, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready," the 5 who were wise, who were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Our Savior preaches this sermon because preparation has to be made. There's no way you can meet the Lord as you are. If tonight finds you in an unready and an ungodly state, you cannot look for His coming with any kind of heartfelt expectation. You would only say, "Please, Lord, don't come tonight, for I'm not ready." Then let's consider in the last place that any man as a householder who gets a personal and an urgent warning of the thief's coming and does nothing about it is certain to suffer loss. Here our Savior is saying in verse 43, if the householder is taken by surprise, if he is unprepared for the coming of the thief, he finds that his house is broken up. He's the man who loses. He loses valuable pieces of property, the best that he has in his possessions. He loses these things because he didn't watch. Oh, there are consequences that I have to spell out tonight. You're like the householder. And if the householder is described in this verse, this warning from the lips of our own Savior and Lord, if the householder here doesn't watch his goods, his house may be broken up. Don't you think that the house here represents the soul? Our goods, our possessions, everything that is really valuable in life, we stand to lose if the thief comes. Now our Lord doesn't take from us that which is truly precious and is truly to be cherished. Our Lord doesn't take from us that which is valuable. But he does use the illustration of the thief. And he says, when the thief strikes, he takes the things that are valuable. And I'm afraid if death comes and finds you unprepared, you will lose your soul. You will lose all that is valuable in life. You'll have nothing. Therefore, Jesus says, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Let's bow in prayer. As we bow in God's presence tonight, are there some here who have never made preparation? In fact, you haven't even been setting up a watch. You haven't been thinking at all of the coming of the Lord. I tremble for those in my own congregation who have sat Sabbath by Sabbath hearing the word and who have heard the most solemn truths preached, who have never got right with God. Some of you have been earnestly prayed for. Some of you have been prayed for by name. Some of your own friends and loved ones have cried to God for you. And they have prayed. And they have been saying, Lord, save that man. Lord, speak to that woman and bring her to Christ. Some of your own relatives have cried to the Lord for you. Sunday night by Sunday night, they have looked for you to stay. They have longed for you to come. They have watched you. They have watched you rise from your place after the most searching sermon has been preached. And they have looked into your eyes, anxiously trying to discern there some sign of conviction, some kind of promise that you're going to come now and trust the Lord as your Savior. Heretofore, they have been disappointed. They have looked for a response. They have watched for you to come. You haven't taken that step yet. I want you to take that step tonight. Will you stay? Some of you young people who are growing up, you have listened to the gospel. You've been taught the word of God. And we wonder whether you have come to Christ yet. Maybe you look like a Christian, being brought up in a Christian atmosphere. But we have no evidence, no certain knowledge that you have come to the Lord. Make it certain. Let's clear up all doubt and uncertainty. Let's know tonight where you do stand. Now our Lord tells you to be sure about it, to be clear about it, to make this certain that your preparation is complete. How about it tonight? Haven't there been times when you have thought about it? Times when you have not been far from the kingdom? Come now. Don't leave this service without Christ. Lord, speak on in this meeting. Speak to the hearts of men, we pray. Give deciding grace in Jesus' name. Amen.